This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, August 11th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Between last month's Twitter hack, attacks on coronavirus research groups, and election security, we've been talking about cybersecurity lately. A lot. Now, some lawmakers want to put a dedicated person in charge of dealing with those kinds of threats at the White House. They're campaigning for a national cybersecurity director. Our reporter David Uberti will tell us all about it after these headlines. We report that the electric vehicle company Nikola says it's going to be making garbage trucks. 2,500 of them, actually. It secured an order from the refuse giant Republic Services. Our columnist John Stoll says the move represents an important development for Nikola and the electric vehicle industry as a whole.
Nikola has been under a lot of pressure to kind of expand and expound upon what their actual business plan is, who their customers will be, how they're going to actually pull in revenue. Right now, they don't make any revenue. So, you know, this is a way for them to say, hey, look, we have a legitimate blue chip customer that we really think will deliver on this promise to buy these from us. For the wider industry, there's a lot of stop and start. There's a lot of downtime on these garbage trucks. It gives the ability to charge them up some other way than putting diesel fuel in them. And then obviously, hypothetically, cleans up the fleet a little bit more by making it less fossil fuel dependent.
That's not the only big deal to close recently. Late last week, the Air Force said that Elon Musk's SpaceX will be partly responsible for about 36 satellite launches through 2027. It'll split the load with United Launch Alliance, a joint venture between Boeing and Lockheed Martin. The announcement is a milestone for SpaceX. It makes it one of the Pentagon's primary satellite launch providers this decade. And an expert said it highlights how far the company has come from its early days. As recently as 6 years ago, SpaceX was considered an outsider among military leadership. And U.S.-listed biotech companies have raised around $9.4 billion in IPOs so far this year. For context, that's already nearly $3 billion more than the biggest year on record, according to Dealogic data. The surge comes as investors are chasing companies that are working on vaccines for the coronavirus. But there are still reasons to be skeptical. Biotech stocks can be volatile, and some longtime investors say it can be risky to chase companies that are still in the early stages of development. After the break, we go inside the push to establish a national director of cybersecurity. That's next. In mid-July, the House Oversight Committee debated a recommendation from a group called the Cyberspace Solarium Commission. The commission had warned about cyber threats to the U.S., and they wanted to hire a new leader to combat them, specifically a cyber director within the White House. Later that day, hackers orchestrated the largest breach of Twitter ever, which was exactly the kind of thing the commission had warned about. Our reporter David Uberti joins us to explain the call for a national director of cybersecurity. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start by backing up a little bit. Cyber threats to the U.S. have been a major topic of conversation for a while now. So how is it possible that we don't have a national director of cybersecurity already? And what do our defenses look like now?
Well, the National Security Council in the White House had what they called a cyber coordinator until 2018. And the Trump administration at the time decided to end that role, saying that it added to the bureaucracy within the White House and slowed down their decision making. Now, since then, cybersecurity has still been a big deal within the White House. But what a group of lawmakers are now proposing within the National Defense Authorization Act being debated in Congress is to essentially make a Senate-confirmed position within the White House to elevate cybersecurity to one of the president's top advisors and also make it more difficult for future administrations to eliminate the role.
Yeah, so who's leading that charge and what's their argument?
Lawmakers, including Angus King, who's an independent from Maine, and Representative Mike Gallagher, who's from Wisconsin, they were part of the Cyberspace Solarium Commission, which was a federally appointed body that basically said, hey, the United States needs to revamp its cybersecurity. There could be a cybersecurity 9/11 in the future unless we drastically reorient our priorities. So they've been trying to push this idea over the last several months, including through standalone legislation. But given the state of Congress, both because it's deadlocked in partisan struggle, and then also with the pandemic basically soaking up everyone's attention, they're trying to inject the idea into the annual defense bill, which is one of the few bills that Congress passes every year.
So under their proposal, what would the job description of this position look like?
The job would be essentially a top advisor to the president. So say Sony Pictures gets hacked by North Koreans or a foreign power such as Russia tries to meddle in the United States election. This would be the point person within the White House that would respond to incidents in real time. They would lead an office of up to 75 people. They would coordinate with cybersecurity officials at other federal agencies. And they tried to brief both the National Security Advisor or the president themselves on the suite of options the United States might take in response to some of those acts.
You know, as we've mentioned, we've seen several high-profile attacks in recent weeks and months. Is that lending any fuel to these lawmakers' fire?
I mean, it's certainly added to concerns about cybersecurity, you know, within the suite of national security concerns. Obviously, you had the Twitter hack a few weeks ago, then also federal law enforcement officials have increasingly warned about foreign attempts to steal COVID-19 research. So Senator King and Representative Gallagher, they've made both of those examples key parts of their pitches to other lawmakers. And they've had a number of hearings in recent weeks to essentially push this idea and to convince skeptical Republican lawmakers who are wary of new bureaucracy within the White House. That this position, having this dedicated person, is really key.
So they've made this proposal. What happens next? And how likely is it to actually get instated?
Well, the House of Representatives included this provision within their version of the annual defense spending bill. The Senate included a placeholder. And essentially, as lawmakers meet in conference to try to iron out those differences between those two versions, they're going to come to some sort of conclusion as to whether this position should be part of the final version. And so that version will ultimately go to the president. And the big question is to what extent the White House or current White House officials will essentially lean on Republican Congress people to say, hey, you shouldn't let this provision make it into the final document. The White House is opposed to this idea. And an official from the National Security Council basically told me they are very wary of any attempts to legislate individual positions within the White House.
All right. We'll be watching. Our reporter, David Uberti, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, we are officially in back-to-school season. We've been talking a lot about the tech that will keep families connected and safe when kids are back in the classroom. Now that we're a little closer to the school year, we're beginning to get a clearer picture of what that tech will actually look like and how it could work in practice. Here's our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon.
Thermal imaging cameras that take students' temperatures, beacons that students and teachers can wear as they go throughout their school day, and those beacons trace their movements around campus. And then there's some more subtle changes, like existing security cameras that now have AI that detects when students have removed their masks or when they're standing too close together.
Some schools are even considering long-term adaptations for these kinds of technology for after the pandemic is over. Julie says we could be looking at a bit of an Orwellian future, and not just an English class.
One of these companies that's developing this technology, the CEO of that technology company, said that school districts have already told him that someday, when the pandemic is over, they might use those beacons to take attendance and keep track of who's on campus. And another a school district that is installing these thermal imaging cameras said that when the pandemic is over, they very well may repurpose those cameras to be part of a new AI surveillance system to determine whether there are unauthorized visitors on the campus or whether there are weapons that could be detected using those cameras.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. As always, we've got more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.